We continue six lines down from the top of Nuntes Omid Beis. Similar discussion again, quoting now with another statement from Rav Ashi. Am Rav Ashi, Hay Ovid Kochavim Denaschei Lechamra Di Yisrael Bekavana. When an idolater is Menaseich a Jew's wine with intent. Afal Gavde Lizvune Lo Ovid Kochavim Acharina Asar, even though he can no longer sell the wine to even a different idolater, it's Asar Behana. And remember, if you remember before, we mentioned that this concept of Ein Adam Oser Dever Shein Shelo, a person cannot prohibit something which doesn't belong to him. Here you see there's a distinction between when you just make it so as opposed to when you physically agitate it. When you're Menasech the Yayin, that's the different story. Then even though it's not yours, it becomes rendered Yayin Nesach. But anyhow, so is there any recourse? Even though you can no longer sell it to another idolater, Asar Behana, Shari Leila Mishkal Dmeha Mehu Avid Kochavim, you are able to claim money, get damages, get payment from the idolater who was Menasech your Yayin. Why can you get damages? My time a Mikla Kalya. It's like burning. It's like he burnt your crops. He burnt your wine. It's no longer usable, so you can claim damages and get payment from the idolater. Amar Rav Ashi Mina Aminala. How can I prove it? You says Rav Ashi. From what's the source? The Tanya. We learned in a Brisa. Ovid Kochavim Shenasach Yeno Shel Yisrael Shelo Bifnei Avodas Kochavim Aser. The Tanakhama says that an idolater who's Menasech the wine of a Jew, not in the presence of other idolaters, Aser. It's considered Yayin Nesach, even though there weren't any other idolaters around. Or sorry, it wasn't in front of the idol. Shelo b'nei avodas kochavim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir Matirin. Mishum shnei dvarim. The two Rabbi Yehudas were marmekel for two reasons. Echad sheim menaschin yayin ele b'nei avodas kochavim. First of all, there's no Yayin Nesach if it's not done in front of the idol. What's the point? That's one idea. As the echad sheomer lo, lo kol heimanucha sheteasor yeni laonsi. I can't believe you that, this is what we say to the idolater, I don't believe you that you're going to forcibly ruin my wine. So we use that kind of logic to say, look, you can't use it to sell it to another idolater, but at least we'll say that you are able to collect damages by collecting the money from the Avodas Kochavim who ruined it. So again, when you make that statement, when you say that to the idolater, you're not telling him that I don't believe you, that you were Menasech the Yayin. You were Menasech the Yayin. But we're saying that making that claim to that idolater allows you to get money back from him. And that's essentially what Rashi explains. Right? And that statement made by the two Rabbi Yehudas, lo kol haymenucha shetesar yoni leonsa, you can't forcibly ruin my wine, you can't do it against my will, he says, we don't paskin this way, because we just said, ein adam ozer dever sheino shelo, does not apply when you're physically being meshachshech and being menasech the yayin, but it's enough to use that claim as a means to collect damages from that Ovid Kochavim and get the money for the loss that he caused. The Gemara continues with another story. Ahu chavisa dechamer deishtaka labarza. There was a barrel of wine that the spigot fell out. And what happened? The wine started to leak out of the barrel. Asa Ovid Kochavim idri anach yada ilavei. So the Ovid Kochavim ran over. Rashi says he jumped over to save the wine, and he took his hand and he placed it on the outside of the barrel in order to keep the wine inside the barrel. So what now is the status of the wine? Amar Rav Papa kol de lahavei barza chamra asir v'idach shari. Says Rav Papa, any of the wine which is next to the spigot, that's asir because his hand is touching it. But the rest of the wine is fine. He didn't touch it, so fine what? Fine for hana, fine for drinking. Rashi says it's even fine for drinking. V'igad amri amar Rav Papa. There's another version of Rav Papa's ruling here. Ad habarza chamra asir v'idach shari. Up until the spigot, anything, any wine above the spigot, and until the spigot becomes asir, anything below the spigot v'idach shari is permissible. So that's the machlokas, how to understand the two versions of Rav Papa. But anyhow, again, the here we have the idolater who's plugging the hole with his hand. Amar Rav Yemar, so Rav Yemar says, how do we deal with this? Kitanai, this statement from Rav Papa is actually based on a machlokas tanoim. Chavis shenakva bein mipia, bein mishule, bein mitzideha, a barrel which had a hole in it, whether the hole was above from the mouth or at the bottom or from the side of the pit of the barrel. The nagabo tful yom, and a tful yom touched the barrel. Tful yom says someone who he's gone to the mikvah but hasn't waited till his time period is over, till the nighttime, so to the morning. So he's still tamei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tamei. So therefore, that will ruin everything, and not just the top and the bottom, even the side of the pit. If he touches it, of the barrel, if he touches it, it's usur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mipia umishule tamei mitzideha torah mikan mikan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only the top and the bottom, if he touches it, it's tamei, but the sides, it is tahor. So Rabbi Yehuda essentially would be following Rav Papa's ruling, because on both cases, you're talking about plugging up the side of the barrel with his hands, with the idolater's hands, and Rav Papa said that there's some basis for leniency on some part of the barrel because it was only on the side. So that would be Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Papa would be the same, but the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, would be arguing with Rav Papa, and therefore Rashi says the halacha cannot follow Rav Papa, it's going to follow the Rabbanan. We're going to prohibit all of the wine once he plugs up the barrel of wine with his hand.